That time of year again. A time where kids and parents and husbands, I should say, scramble to find the perfect gift and buy the perfect gift for the one person who does most of the shopping. To try to plan a dinner, an event, for someone who plans most of the events, who cooks most of the dinners. And finally, a time for you to surprise the one person, no matter how hard you try, knows everything that goes on in a household. Maybe some of you have experienced that. Your mother knows everything that goes on in your household. And it's Mother's Day. And so this is a day that we get to celebrate and just enjoy the mothers in our lives and mothers in this church. And for some of you, this is a joyous day. This is a day we get to celebrate, a day where you get to be celebrated for the work that you do, the work that God is doing through you and your kids' lives. This is a day that's amazing and a lot of fun, and we get to just enjoy each other. But for some of you, this day is not as enjoyable. This day is kind of a hard reminder. Maybe you are one who has lost a child, one who has a child who isn't walking with the Lord currently, or maybe you and your husband have been trying to have children, and that God has not brought that into your life, and so maybe this day is not as joyful. Maybe you're a little bit more apprehensive to this day. Maybe this day brings up some feelings that you don't love. And so today is just a day that you kind of just tuck your head and you plow through, and you go to church and you hear the nice things, and we praise mothers while you sit there and just, man, are just a little bit more reluctant to what is happening. And for some of you that are in here that are kind of feeling that way, some of you also might be feeling kind of similar to that, as some of you have had lost mothers. Your mother is no longer here with us. Maybe that was recently or a long time ago, and you just miss her. And some of you didn't have the greatest of mothers, didn't have a great relationship. Your mother was whoever she was, but you kind of struggle in that relationship. So this is a day for you where you honestly want to just tuck your head and kind of plow through. And if I'm being truthfully honest with myself, and I can feel that way. I didn't have a great relationship with my mother. And so as we kind of go along, I want today to be a day that we celebrate mothers. I absolutely want that. I want us to be thankful. I want us to be enjoy and just be glad for the mothers that are here. But I also want us to face the reality that for some in here, today is not a joyful day. And my hopes in today, there are many types of messages, and normally Josh or whomever's kind of up here, we'll kind of go through a text and we'll explain the text and try to relate it to life, and that's normally how things are going to flow. And today's going to be a little bit different in how what we kind of talk about. We'll still be rooted in text, and if you're kind of waiting or wondering where we're going to be at, and you could start turning there, we're going to be in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Again, that's Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. But the little bit differentness in kind of today's message is Josh had asked me to come up and share, A, from scripture, but B, he wanted me to share a little bit about my story and what growing up with my mother is like. And I have to be truthfully honest, as I kind of talked about that reluctancy earlier, I felt that. I wasn't super excited, which isn't my normal reaction. When Josh asked me to talk, I'm all for it. I'm all about talking whenever I physically can. But this one I was a little bit more reluctant about. I didn't want to relive some of the things. And in fact, when I was sitting down with Richard to talk about this, I had to be honest with him. This is the hardest message I've ever put together. And the funny thing is, not a lot of it's outside of my own story. But again, some of us, including myself, have things in our past that we don't love to go back to, that we don't love to talk about. And I have to be honest, that's kind of where I'm at today. But the good thing is there's an ending to my story, and there's an ultimate ending to each of our stories that was hopeful. And we get to tie it back to scripture. So today we're going to be in Ephesians 6. And what it's going to look like is we're going to read this scripture in just a minute. And we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of the background of what's going on in Ephesians 6. And we're going to talk about what Paul is trying to say at the moment. There are a couple terms we need to identify and define. And then I'm going to spend a decent bit of portion actually going through my story and the relationship with my mother and what that looks like. And then we're going to kind of transition into, we're going to try to hopefully tie back into why we need to do what Scripture tells us. We're going to talk a lot about honor today. I want to talk about why is it important to honor our parents? What's the purpose of it? Why does God ask us to do it? And then give some reasons as to how or ways we can, how we can honor our mothers, how I can honor my mother, despite maybe the hard or difficult or even enjoyable relationship that we have. And so I want to hopefully do that today. And my hopes in sharing my story, I want to get this out front, is my hopes is not so that you look at my story or look at my family's story and feel all sorts of sorry. That's not my hope. I don't want that. But what I do want is to be able to hopefully use the story of my mother to hopefully help you understand a little bit of God's heart in honoring our parents and tie that back to Scripture. So if you would with me, would you turn to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3? I want to start at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let me pray. Dear God, I pray that even as we dive into Scripture and we dive into some of the personal things that have happened in my life, I pray that, Lord, you be glorified, that you ultimately are God over the joyous and the joyful situations, and God, you are Lord over the hard situations. So pray that our minds be focused on you and our hearts be attuned to what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, the first part that we want to do is we want to jump into Scripture and really just kind of talk about what Scripture is saying. And so we have this first verse that says, children, obey your parents for the Lord, for this is right. And so this is the part where mothers and fathers, you should be cheering and men saying amen and going after, because we're just talking about children, obey your parents in the Lord. And there's a couple caveats I want to add to that. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. We're talking to children, so we're not talking to adults or anything like that, but people, children that are still in the household, and we're talking about simply just obey your parents. Obey your parents. And anyone with children here or who are children in here can attest that that's not always as easy as we want it to be. And in our youth group, we had this kind of discussion about what obey means. And we talked about doing things right away. So when your parents ask it, you do right away. We do it in the right way. So I'm doing it with a heart that wants to serve. And you do it the right way. And some of you, your kids will obey you and they'll listen to you, but man, they'll drag their feet the entire time. Or they'll do a job half the way you want it to be done. And so right here, here's a commandment to kids right here, children, obey your parents. And the little bit of caveat I want to add to that is some of us in here, some children in here, some of you are teenagers, we don't always grow up with parents who have our best interests in mind. And so when it talks about obey your parents, it's not that we write this necessary blank check, but it says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So if your parents are asking you to go on and sin, and some of us have had parents that weren't always the best influences in our lives, it's not that we just obey our parents when they ask us to go and sin, but when that is not happening, we obey. And so this is not crazy hard for us to understand, but it's crazy hard for us to practically live out sometimes, to obey our parents. So children, if you are in here and you are still living under your parents' house, obey your parents, for it is right in the Lord. The next section I want to hop into and kind of where we'll spend most of our time, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I want to talk about what this word honor means before we hop into my story. Honor is a word that we can kind of get confused about, and we need to define that real quick. And so I want us to think about maybe a couple definitions will help you understand this word honor. For some of us, we need to think of it as it's the weight that we give someone. Or maybe it's the respect or the value you give someone. So when we are honoring someone, we are told in Scripture that we are never to seek honor for ourselves, but there are people that we are supposed to honor within Scripture. Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew that we need to honor him as the Son. And if we don't honor him, we're not honoring the Father. So we need to honor Jesus, but he also is telling us in this point that we need to honor our mother and father. And so we need to give that value, that respect, that weight to our parents. And the interesting thing I want to note is the fact that it does not say honor your parents if they're good parents. or honor your parents if you agree with them. It just says honor your father and mother. And so honestly, when we're getting into this word honor, we have to give a certain amount of value and respect to them, but that is lived out in multiple different ways. If your honor is, if your parents are walking with the Lord currently at the moment, that honor would look a lot different than if they're not necessarily. And hopefully by the end of this, we can start to connect to maybe what does honoring look like in our lives. But I want us to have this mind of when we're honoring someone, we're giving them a value. We're determining what value they have in our lives. And Paul right here is telling us that we need to give them high value. We need to give them that value in our lives. And so is this important? I want to also talk about maybe a little idea of whether this command is important. And so what we need to do now is we need to look through the rest of Scripture and see, is this commandment ever repeated? And for some of you that might have gone to Sunday school and had the flannel graphs and all that, you might remember a little story about Moses and he's getting these tablets. And it's funny when I tell those stories today in school, they think I'm talking iPad tablets. And it's not. It's hard to explain to them that it's stone. But we see this story and Moses is handed the Ten Commandments. And most of us in here may have heard of those. And in there you have the fifth commandment that's talking about. It says, honor your father and mother. So right off the bat, we're kind of getting it early on, is that this is an important idea that we need to honor our parents. In fact, it was taken so seriously. Thank God we don't live in the Old Testament. I say that for myself because of the kind of child I was sometimes. But the punishment for being a rebellious son in the Old Testament was stoning. Thank God we don't live in the Old Testament, right? That was the punishment. That was the seriousness that God held to honoring mother and father, is the fact that if you did not do those things, if you continued to walk in rebellion, you would be stoned. And that's not the only time we see this commandment. We see it again be reiterated by Jesus. Jesus comes in and he talks about honoring our mother and father and how we should do that. And then again, Paul kind of reiterates this. He says it here in Ephesians, but he also says it in Colossians. And so when we're taking our big Bible test and you're sitting there and you get asked the question, who are, man, three big people in the Bible? Jesus should be on there. There's your Sunday school answer coming into play. Moses should probably be the other one. So you have Jesus and Moses and then Paul. So you're talking about three huge figures in the Bible coming and telling you that honoring your father and mother is important. And that we take this with seriousness. And it's funny because I think as today we can kind of use this and ignore it and move on. But yet God takes this so, his idea to him is so important that we honor our father and mother. So now that we have a little bit of understanding of kind of what this verse is talking about and what honoring means, I want to kind of transition a little bit into my story. I grew up with a mother who has a disease called Huntington's. And for some of you who don't know what that is, it's a genetic disease, I should say, that you start to deteriorate over time. So my dad used to kind of explain it that it was kind of like taking Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and kind of mixing them together. So over time, my mom lost the ability to walk and really kind of communicate, and that's where she is at now. And we've seen it kind of ripple through our family. My grandmother had it. My great-grandfather had it. You pass down through genetics. And so it's kind of always up in the air whether one of my siblings or I will have it, and we continue to pray that we don't, but we pray that we continue to honor the Lord through it. But my mother had this disease, and she's had it almost the entire time that I've been alive. And now this is not something where you are fine and fine and fine, and you wake up one day and you're sick. What happens is it starts to just slowly encapsulate you over time. And so when I was younger, I remember my mom being very, very aggressive with us, but not all the time, just at points. And things that when you would interact with her, you really wouldn't notice anything different. Other than sometimes she lost her temper. And sometimes she said things that weren't socially acceptable. It seemed kind of strange. It didn't seem logical at points. And I remember having this. My mom at a very young age for me was very much of a roller coaster. You didn't know how my mom was going to act. Was she going to react this way? Was she going to react this way? There was definitely some physical abuse that was happening and emotional abuse that happening to my siblings. But my mom was kind of basically like that. And I remember as kids, we would do things that normal kids would do. We would sit there and we would get up and we'd be at a restaurant and we would stand on the booths as a 4- and 5-year-old. Or I had a lot of energy as a kid, which isn't a surprise to some of you, but I had a lot of energy and not a whole lot of ability to control it. But we didn't really do things that were much outside of normal kid stuff. But I remember my mom cared very much about her image and was very consumed by it, that it was very much a big deal. And she reacted in ways that were just didn't seem normal. Even to me as a child, I looked back, or even at that moment, I should say, I looked at and I was like, man, that doesn't seem... seems like an overreaction. But again, my mom seemed fine, kind of on the surface. There wasn't, she had abilities where she would talk and she'd be able to communicate, and there nothing seemed to be nothing wrong, except for the occasional times this happened. So as life kind of continued on, we just knew that we had to ride the roller coaster, and you just kind of rolled with it as it happened. As things were up, things were great, and things were down. Well, we adjusted and we moved. And so I remember I was homeschooled as a child, which probably wasn't the best choice. My mom was very much unable to make decisions that were beneficial for us, I should say. And we would do school, and I knew that she really, really liked watching TV. And so the mastermind that I am, I knew if I kept the TV on and certain TV shows on and changed the channel when it needed to, I didn't have to do school. You tempt an elementary school kid who, with not doing school and all you have to do is change the channel, I was in, I was sold. And so I went through elementary school not really learning. Again, still kind of rolling these punches. And we knew that something was up with mom. My dad would somewhat talk about it. He would be like, well, that's, you know, that's mom. That's the disease kind of taking over. And so we knew that something was up, even as kids. That was always verbalized to us, but it wasn't talked about. We didn't really talk about it, and it just happened. And so kind of by virtue of this, I never had much of a relationship, even as a child. And my mom would make these decisions. Sometimes we'd get new dogs. Sometimes we'd get new cats. Sometimes my mom would pick up one of my sisters and drive across country because she wanted to go on vacation and not tell my dad. And sometimes these decisions that would just happen that would seem really, really odd. And I would talk to other friends about it, and they would be like, my mom doesn't do that. And they'd back away slowly. Now, but what it also started to do was it impacted the friends that we did have. She started to say things to other people that just weren't kind. And so a lot of the people that once were a part of our family honestly started to back away. And not to any fault of theirs, they didn't know anything was going on. We didn't really verbalize it. And so I kind of grew up in this situation where I was homeschooled. I didn't have a lot of friends. A lot of people didn't come over and hang out with us. And so I just kind of was stuck there with this mom who made these decisions sometimes. And so transition, middle school kind of continued. What I didn't know much through about all this or what we were going to do or what was going on. I just knew two things. A, I didn't want the mother I had. And B, I didn't want a God who gave me the mother I had. And so I continued on through middle school. The anger and the frustration started to develop because my mom was still able to make choices and had impact in our lives. And some of those choices were not what I thought was best. And so I would get frustrated and angry. And then the disease kind of took a jump off a cliff, if you will. I always kind of verbalize it this way. My freshman year is when things just kind of started to get bad. She lost the ability to walk. She lost the ability to drive. She lost basically all abilities to take care of herself. And so she needed someone to kind of take care of her full time. And so that kind of became mine and my siblings' responsibility. At this point, my little sister and I are the only ones that are in the house at this point. The older siblings are often in college or married or whatever that looks like. And so it kind of became the responsibility of us two to take care of my mom and my father as well. And so oftentimes my dad had hired someone to basically take care of her during the day, and she would leave basically when we got done with school, and we would come in at school and we would switch off taking care of her, and that required feeding her and making sure that she was able to go to the bathroom and those kinds of things, and just having to do that. And I started to do that through high school. I was even told by my father that I needed to drop out of sports, and so I dropped out of sports. And so I started to kind of basically what became my identity or my full-time job was taking care of my mother. And so, unfortunately, I'd love to sit here and say that I did it well and I honored the Lord through it, but I really just didn't. I had one time, actually, Christine Braddy, one time was talking to me through this, and she said, you reacted how a 15-year-old would react to this. And that's exactly it. I reacted how a 15-year-old would react to this. I got frustrated. I got angry. I dove into video games. I dove into anything that took my mind, and I didn't have to deal with all of this. And so I did anything I could to get away. The anger started to consume me, started to get frustrated. I started to just lose my temper on things and started to really just get consumed by this. And I lived in this anger for years. Because the reality was, I was not serving or loving my mother. To me, I was loving a stranger. Someone I had no relationship with. Someone I didn't know. Someone I had not built a motherly relationship. Someone who had not done the things in my life that I felt I deserved or saw other parents do. And so I continued this, and she kind of needed more and more care. And so the physical side of the abuse kind of stopped, but the emotional kind of continued because she still could verbalize. And so through all this, she wasn't a very kind woman. But I knew that was something I had to do. And my father used to talk a lot about responsibility. This was our responsibility. So I knew I had to do it. So I continued to do it and walked this and didn't want to, but continued to. And eventually, over time, it just kind of got so bad that we brought in someone to take care of her full time. And my older siblings started to kind of come home and help out when they could. And you would think that this would all be exciting, but the reality is all it did inside of me was create more and more anger, because I was more and more frustrated that I had to do this. I was more and more frustrated that people had to come into our home and take care of this. I was more frustrated with siblings who were coming home who were just trying to help and sit there and say, hey, when you do this, do it this way. And I'm being like, you have no idea what this is like. You come here for 2 weeks and then you leave and you go back home. And so all I wanted was out. All I wanted. So I didn't interact, and I had lost a lot of the things that were my personality. I was kind of relatively quiet. I didn't want to do anything with people. I just kind of started to hide into myself. Until, honestly, things started to change. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't know exactly the pinpoint, man, this is the day I got saved. But I started to realize in high school that I needed to start taking my walk with God seriously. And although I was not wanting to, and I knew it was going to be hard, I knew that there needed to be change in my life. And it was actually a point, I remember two of my older siblings saying something to me, that one of them turned to me, and I clearly was exhibiting all of this anger all the time. And one of them turned to me and said, Brandon, when are you going to stop being so angry? When are you going to stop being consumed by this? And I had another sibling who turned to me, and she looked at me and she said, Brandon, this is your assignment now. But this isn't your assignment forever. And I remember that being so hopeful. I remember being like, I'm so sick and tired of being consumed by this anger and by this frustration. And so I started to really live that truth out. My brother had really come into my life and started saying, we need to do this, but we need to do this for Jesus. And when I started to shift my focus on that, man, I can't express to you the weight that was lifted off my shoulders. Even just the pure knowledge that I could do this now and didn't have to do this forever. That there was one day freedom that was offered to me. And then even in this moment that we were going to make the best of where we were at. So that's what started to change. My attitude started to change. My purpose started to change. And ultimately, I started to change. Because I started to live in the obedience and for the heart that the Lord had for me, and a heart that wanted to serve him. And it didn't change my mother. It didn't. My mother didn't wake up one day and she was better. She was pretty consistently the same as she had been. But what started to change was I started to change amidst my mother, and the joy that started to bring. And so I finished out the last couple of years of college, and I finally was free. I was gone I didn't have to deal with this anymore. So I moved out to Wyoming. I don't know why, but I did. I moved out to Wyoming. I got away from her. This was good. This is what I wanted. And unfortunately, through some events that happened, my father ended up passing away, and my mother ended up becoming and living actually out in Colorado. She didn't come and live with me. That would be an ironic part of the story. But she came out and started living with my sister, who was living in Colorado at the time. And so here I was. I finally had gotten away, and the Lord was bringing me face to face with my past. And the funny thing is, something happened in my mother that I cannot explain. My mother's testimony is truly the power of the Holy Spirit, because she is still alive today, and she is the most joyful woman I've ever met. Like the Lord's kindness in redeeming, and nothing really happened in her life. She didn't make a choice. She didn't. It's not like she was like, no, I'm not going to be like this anymore. She doesn't really have the cognitive abilities to do that. But what started to happen is she moved from a house that was spiritually dying into one that was spiritually thriving. And it just changed her. Josh, actually, funny enough, when we were talking about this, he asked, he's like, does your mother still sit there and just listen to sermons all day long? And she does. Because she has no real ability to engage her mind. And so she kind of just watches TV for most of the day. It's something that distracts her. And we kind of started to switch that. My older sister started to put sermons on, and she just watched sermons all day long. And I watched the Holy Spirit change my mother and change just who she is. And it gave me, and I used to ask a lot as a child. I didn't understand why my mother was alive. And when I was in college, it also kind of seemed like, why is my mother still here? Like, Lord, what are you doing? And even with the story that I have, I've come to a point where I'm thankful that my mom's alive, because it's allowed me to restore a relationship with her that I've never had. And it's not through that I get to talk with her and see her personality. I couldn't tell you what my mother's interests were. I couldn't tell you what my mother's personality, other than stories. I hear that she was a very passionate woman. She was someone who was very, very driven. And so I'm very thankful for that. But I don't interact with her through that. The funny thing is, the most God amazing thing about all of this is that the way I build a relationship with my mother is through serving her. You sit there and you just feed her. And you just be there. And you just watch. And unfortunately, I'm a talker. And so I like to talk. And she just doesn't have the abilities. But through God's grace, I finally have a relationship with my mother that I kind of always wanted. I'm able to be excited to tell her that I finished college, because she studied to be a teacher, and that's what I went into. And I get to tell her that I finished seminary and that I'm continuing learning and schooling, and I'm excited to tell her, and she doesn't even really respond other than, oh, Brandon, that's so great. And and there's not really a whole lot of thought, but there's something that's deep, deep inside of me as a son that just wants to tell her. And God gave me that ability too. So having a mother in my life, even with my mother, has been one of the best things that has ever happened to me. I'm very thankful for my mother. And so she is. She's still alive today. She lives down in Alabama. I see her about twice a year. And we get down there all together at Christmas. And I'm still learning on how to love her and love her well, because there are definitely moments that I still don't want to face some of those things and have to continue to work through a lot of that. But I'm thankful that I get the times to spend with her and I get to redeem some of that relationship that was so broken. And so for some of you, you have a story that relates to mine. And some of you don't. Some of you have stories where your mother was great and she loved Jesus and she wanted what's best, and yet some of you have stories in which are similar to mine, that there's a lot of brokenness that's there. So as I said, I want to transition into, okay, where does my story kind of fit into what Scripture is talking about? I want to talk about this question, why. Why is it important that we honor our mother and father? And I wanted to come up with, you know, four different reasons, and realistically, there's one reason. Because ultimately, it goes back to the Lord has called us to it. God has called us to honor our mother and father. And so as much as I want to sit there, we honor our mom and dads because they're great and they love us, that's not always true sometimes. We honor them because God calls us to. And what I realized in my life, and what I realized through walking this, is that despite obedience being the harder thing for me to choose, I didn't want to love my mom. I just wanted to be angry and bitter and run away. But I realized that even walking through the hardness of obedience was so much more worth it than walking through the easiness of disobedience. Because the easiness of disobedience just led me to destruction. It led me to be consumed by my anger. But obedience gave me the life that I always wanted, the freedom I always wanted. And so despite that being the harder choice, we have to choose to walk in obedience of honoring our parents. Because ultimately, God calls us to, and God changes us through that when we do it. As I kind of talked about in my story, walking in obedience didn't change my mom. She didn't get better. She didn't get less aggressive. She didn't. Any of that happened. For a while, it eventually happened by the grace of God, but it didn't happen at the moments you would think it would happen. But what happened is I started to change through that. And that's what obedience does, is you start to become more like Christ. I started loving her with a Christ love that is unexpressible and definitely was not my own. So I started to become less angry. I started to become kinder, started to be gentler. I started to see joy come back into my life for the first time that I had not seen in a while. It wasn't easy, but it was well worth it. And so when you were looking at your mom and dad and you're looking at how to honor them or why to honor them, we go for the simple fact of God calls us to. And that is always worth it. So how do we honor our parents? We talked about earlier, honoring is different than just obeying, because he already talked about obeying. He's already talked to children. Children are called to obey. And so it's more than just obeying. I'm not telling you as a 45-year-old man to get up and move back into your parents' basement and obey them. No, that's not what I'm telling you to do. But we talked about giving this value to them. And so that isn't obeying. But honestly, I want to give you a few different things. And a lot of these different tips are things that you need to tease out with the Lord and what it looks like, because you know your relationship with your parents and you know what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. Some of you have parents where it's appropriate to be around their house and have your kids with them. And some of you don't have parents that it's appropriate to be around your house and let your kids be around them. That is something that you have to wrestle with the Lord. But the first thing that we need to do is, if we give value or respect to someone, well, I need to be able to hear their opinion. Again, that doesn't mean I need to follow it. Sometimes the Lord speaks differently, that you have to judge the Lord what is best for you and your family. But when you are coming to decisions, do you consult your parents? Are you seeking out their wisdom? That's a way you can honor them. Even being willing to listen. Because when I sit there and I go to my mom and dad, or when you go to your parents and sit there and say, "Man, mom, what do you think about this? We're thinking about doing this." Man, that is showing value and respect to them. And it shows that you appreciate that you are in their lives. Second, we need to love, and continuing in that respect, we need to love them. And that love looks so different. Again, for me, it's not calling my mom and talking to her on the phone. There's no real ability to do that. There'd be a lot of silence. But it's spending time with them. Again, this is where the kind of appropriateness kind of comes in. But spending time with them, spending time with your mother, respecting her. For some of you, honoring doesn't look like spending time with them because you can't anymore, because they've passed away, but honoring the memory of them. How do you speak about them? Something I had to fix in my life for many years, I didn't speak well of my mother. And so do you speak well of your parents? Their memory. Do you focus on their faults or focus on the moments that they tried? Because being a mother's hard. And anyone who's a mother in here knows how hard it is. And also, do you speak kindness and gentleness to them? When you're in conversations with them, are you constantly getting into arguments, constantly fighting? But are you loving them enough to speak softly with them? And to continue to love them despite maybe their unworthiness of love at points. The final thing I have for those who have mothers in this room, I want you to pray for your mother. When's the last time you've prayed for your mother? if she is unsaved and she is not walking with Christ, this is definitely something we need to be pleading to the Lord about. And even if she is, that does not neglect the fact that, do we just pray and plead for our moms? And not always just asking, but also just being thankful for having, because having even a mother that is hard and frustrating is still better than not having a mother at all. And I could speak that from my life. It is better for me to have the mother I have than to not have a mother at all. It's good for me to have a mother, despite the fact that she wasn't always there. So are we praying for our mothers? Are we thankful for our mothers? And for those who are in this room who are mothers, continue to do what you are doing. Love your kids well. Pray for them. Some of you have kids in here who are not walking with the Lord. Continue to pray and love them. God has not forgotten you amidst that trial. There were moments some of my siblings were far off from the Lord, and God chose to work in their lives and not through my mother. So do not lose hope in God's sovereignty and not continue to pray and love for your kids. And then for those in here who are not mothers, just women who have maybe tried to have kids and can or not have been blessed, or you're not married yet and that's something you were looking forward to, my encouragement to you is that through my story, one of the things I didn't hit on was my mother wasn't there, but I had mother figures in my life. There was one woman I particularly remember. She was my friend's mom, and wrath would be rained upon her if I didn't call her anything else other than Mama Olson. And that was it. I never called her Mrs. Olson. I never called her, I think her name was Cindy. I'm not even sure to this day. But it was always Mama Olson. And she, and don't get me wrong, it's not like she kind of saw that in me. She just asked us to do that. And it didn't mean anything else to the other kids, but man, it meant something to me. And I've had people in that life where they're just like, oh, you can call me Mama, whatever. And that just means something to me. I had mothers and women in my life who fed me. There's nothing simpler than feeding a high school boy. They will love you. And so there were women who just stepped in that role. There were women who have walked me, given me advice, who have, as I've continued to pursue women in my life, if I've had girlfriends, there's been women who have given me advice. Oh man, honey, don't do that. Or maybe you should try this. Or, gosh dang it, just put on some deodorant for me. And so there were these mothers who have spiritually led me. And this is more than just my siblings. This is women that have just been in the church, because as the body of Christ, we can come together and love and serve one another. And so women in here who don't have kids, you are not without purpose. You serve in a body of Christ where there are hurt people who just need a mother's touch, who need to be invited over for a meal. There are women in this church who need to be walked with because their mothers are not walking with them, who just need to be cared for, who just need a hug. So there's places, there's abilities for you to serve despite the fact the Lord may have not brought that full capacity into your life. And let me tell you, it's pretty life-changing. As someone who's experienced that, it's pretty life-changing. The fact that I still will go home back to New Jersey and I'll see some of them, and you better believe there'll be stromboli on the table when I walk in and a bed for me to sleep in. And that's the impact that they have had. So this Mother's Day, although we've talked maybe about the sadder times, this is truly a day to celebrate. It's a day to celebrate mothers and women and women who have served mother roles, as Josh was kind of talking about, the people who've had spiritual and emotional impact that maybe our mothers have or have not had. And so thank you for that. We as a church want to celebrate you, because God sees the work that you are doing and he gives weight and value to the work that you are doing. And so I pray that we continue to give weight and value to what you're doing. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the different women in this room. God, the way that they have served and loved you. Lord, that their work does not go without notice or without purpose. So Lord, thank you for them. Let this be a day that we remember our mothers, that we honor our mothers, whether it is hard to or easy to. Let us be willing to radically love them and show them love despite maybe their undeservingness. But God, let us lean on your love for them. Lord, that you so loved us and allowed us to be loved even in spite of our unlovingness. I thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.